can stream us at 93.3KJR.com, on the free iHeartRadio app, or the old-fashioned way, on your radio as Seattle's only FM sports station in crystal clear stereo. Now, back to Softy and Dick on Sports Radio 93.3KJR-FM.
All right, we are at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, day one of Seahawk minicamp. And by the way, the Hawks announced today that October 29th, week 8, against the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson is going to be their throwback game. For the first time in franchise history, the Hawks are wearing the old retro unis from back in the day. Jacob Green, Kenny Easley, Joe Nash, Steve Largent, Dave Craig, Kurt Warner. You want to win a pair of seats for that game, courtesy of VenueKings.com. Text in your first and last name, the words VenueKings, right now to 49451, and we'll start reading names. Give you a couple minutes to call back at 5 o'clock tonight. So your first and last name and VenueKings to 49451 right now for a pair of tickets for the first ever Seahawk throwback game in October. Softy, Dick Fanes in the studio. Clint Hurt, Seahawk DC, with us on the show. Yeah. How are you, pal? Good to see you, man.
Doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
You bet. So day one of minicamp. My buddy Ian Furness was saying earlier, there seems to be a little more pep, a little more buzz than any OTA you guys had the last couple weeks.
You know what? Yes, everybody's back in the building, so that's obviously cool to have and be able to see everyone. So that part's been it's been good. And now, obviously, the veteran guys getting a better feel for the young players being with them has been awesome. Really has.
How about having 54 there? What does that do to the juice of your defense?
Obviously, you have your anchor point, obviously your leader, your captain, the respect of everybody in the building, and obviously Easley, his teammate. So
yeah,
something like solidifying piece in the middle. So I can't say enough about him.
How does he look since you last saw him? A little slower, fatter, maybe a little bit older? Huh?
No.
How's 54 look since you last saw him?
Looks damn good. I wish I could have aged that well when I got in my 30s, too.
There you go. Clint Hurt with us. Clint, let me ask you about that defensive line, because there are some that I think left the draft and said, darn it, I was hoping for a little more beef up front on the defensive line. I know you signed Jaron Reed over the offseason. You got Draymond Jones, obviously, from Denver. But for those that wanted maybe a little more as far as addressing the defensive line over the offseason, what do you say to them?
No, I was excited about what we did. You know, I have full trust in John and Pete and the decisions we make. And obviously, we sit down and talk and discuss all those things out together. Getting Jaron back here is another huge, valuable piece. He's a leader, toughness, identity that he brings to the front in his leadership. Obviously, Draymond's a huge addition as well. And the pass rush ability he brings inside, his quickness. He's a different style of player than Jaron, but it's a great compliment. And then obviously the draft process, I think John had spoke about that. You know, you don't go and reach for a guy just because of position of need. You take the best player available. That's why our talent has gotten better. And the pieces that we got, even with getting Mike Morris, I think we're very fortunate to get him. You know, he's done a really, really nice job, and Cam Young is still developing and coming along.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big kid, long arms, big hands, and has a bright future in front of him, too. So the pieces that are there with the additions of free agency and the guys we got in the draft, it's coming along really well, and even with Mario coming into the mix and seeing him. So it's a good group. It's interesting.
Yeah, you mentioned Mario there. Tell us more about Mario Edwards, because probably a lot of Seahawk fans aren't familiar with this skill
yeah.
set.
Was he here today, by the way, Mario?
Yeah, yes, he was.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I tell you what's funny, where I'm getting old, myself and Coach Lewis, Damian Lewis, we played it obviously at Miami together. Mario's dad was on Florida State when we were in college
wow.
together, so it's kind of crazy. It's like, I don't know if I feel like I'm getting old or what the case is, but yeah, it's coming along. It's coming up fast. But anyway, Mario, quick, explosive, violent player and how he plays the game. So it's exciting to have him. He's got a great work ethic and physicality to him. So really good addition, and looking forward to continue to coach him.
Where are we at with Jamal Adams? Should fans expect this guy to be in the mix by week one? Is there maybe some stuff up in the air there? What's your take on where he's at right now?
You know, in terms of the timeline and stuff like that, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure.
You're not going to tell us anyway, right?
I'm not.
That's above your pay grade.
All I'm going to say is this. For as passionate and as supportive and as great as the Seahawks fans are, I know this much. When he does get healthy and he's out there, everybody has a reason to be excited because we know what he brings to the table.
What does he bring to the table? Honestly.
Playmaking. When he is healthy, he's out there, and he's bringing playmaking, energy, violence, juice. The impact that he has on the game and the way how people have to account for him on the field, he helps his teammates. You know, there's so many things that this guy brings to the table that we miss, and we look forward to getting him back when he does become back available to us.
So how do you envision, because you brought in another stud safety in Julian Love, so now you got three of them. So how do you envision playing those three guys together? What does it look like in the mind, the genius mind of Clint Hurt when he's drawn up a defense?
Being really kind. what I would say is this, you know, for the longest time, it was unusual for Seattle to play dime because you had two great linebackers in Bobby and KJ. Most teams in this league play dime when they go to third down, 2 minute and obvious pass situations where there generally is three safeties on the field. So I know that's been a little bit foreign territory for us for the last few years because we got spoiled with the greatness of KJ and the greatness of Bobby being here together. But having three safeties, you know, whether that's, you know, obviously that's Diggs, Love, and Jamal. So obviously that place is still there. And the thing that we have is the versatility. You know, all the things that those guys can do. And Julian can play dime. Jamal can play dime. Jamal last year, when he was healthy and available to us, that was the best he had looked playing in the deep half of the field and playing quarters and things like that when he's back there deep at safety. And we know, obviously, how devastating he is by the line of scrimmage. So we have very valuable movement pieces that we can do with those safeties. So,
yeah. By the way, Clint Hurt with us, you were talking about how old you are or how old you feel. If you're old, then I'm ancient, okay? Because he's only 44, Dick, this guy, and you and I are almost 50 years old, for God's sakes. You are a baby, for crying out loud. But there's a rumor that you played the game back in the day. I'm not sure if there's any real evidence of that. Maybe radios and TVs weren't around back when you played back in the day. But I want you to put your player hat on for a second and put yourself in the shoes of Jordan Brooks. The team is telling you they're not picking up the fifth-year option. You're set to be a free agent when the year ends. What does that mean to you as far as motivation?
I would say this. For me, personally, you asked my opinion.
Yeah.
For me, I'm not motivated by the money. I'm motivated because I want to be the very best in my craft, be the best, you know, whatever I have. And as long as I can play this game healthy, I'm going to give the very best I got, and then the rest of it will shake itself out. I've always had that mindset. Obviously, that doesn't mean that money is important because we all want to take care of our families and do those things in the future. But I believe this, when you have that kind of confidence in yourself and you're playing the mental game with yourself that I'm going to be the best version of myself, the financial part will take care of itself.
Is he a better player just because he's got 54 back, Jordan?
That's not a reason why I don't like saying that, because I don't want to seem like he needs anybody.
Yeah.
Jordan's a damn good football player in his own right. But I will say this, anytime you have the ability to have teammates like Bobby Wagner, like Quandre Diggs, you know, like a Jamal Adams, even Julian is showing that early. When you have quality teammates like that, smart football players, impactful players, they make everybody better, not just one individual guy. But Jordan Brooks is a hell of a damn football player too.
Would you agree he had a better season in 21 than he did in 22? And you plan on using him more like you did in 21 versus 22?
What I would say is there's a lot of similarities to the two. I think if you ask him, he will continue to improve in the passing game. He'll go back to his position more so than what he played in 21, which is our jack or our dime backer. So, you know, for that position, we'll be familiar with him.
Yeah,
is what I would say. But I think for JB, you know, continue to set him and keep him active in pressures, you know, his ability, his tackling, run fits, you know, physicality, and he'll continue to get better in the passing game. I think he's still an ascending player.
Yeah, if you would have told me, Dick, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we'd be sitting here talking to Clint Hurt about a corner, I'd say, why? The guy coaches the defensive line. Well, now he's your damn defensive coordinator.
That's right. We got to talk corners with
him. He's in charge of all the little guys out there on the defense as well. The biggest guy's in charge of the smallest guys. So tell me about Witherspoon and tell the fans about him and just the impression that he's made, not just on the field but off the field as well.
Man, I tell you what, he's a kid that a high energy, very passionate, very cerebral, smart football player. When you're talking the game with him. And a lot of times with kids, you got to be able to, like, show them the film in order for them to recall plays. And he has a photographic memory. He knows exactly the things you're talking about when you bring something up from practice or him watching a game film clip and things of that nature. So very, very smart, intuitive player. Obviously, the passion he has on the sideline when he sees his teammates make plays, high-effort guy, violent striker just off the college film. And you can see, even though you can't hit right now, you can tell by how he reacts to plays.
Yeah.
That when the pads come on, he's going to have some flash plays that's going to have the fans going crazy. So it's he's been everything that we were expecting. He's been really exciting.
Coach, you know our guy Hugh Millen, and we listen to him usually. He knows a little bit of something about the game.
You should see his face, by the way.
Yeah, he's shaking his head, isn't he? Yeah.
Hey, that's Hugh Millen, not Softy. Okay?
we were on the air live when you guys drafted Witherspoon, and the first thing out of Hugh's mouth was, they have to go back to a single high safety now. When you draft a corner number five, you expect them to be a lockdown corner. They have to have a single safety back there. Is Hugh right?
You have the ability to play that as much as what you want to, but we're still going to be a multiple coverage team. But you definitely have the ability when he's right in this aspect. You take a guy like that high when he's an elite, you know, high level man to man cover guy. So he definitely has that. But he can play all the zones. You know, he can play in squad. He can play quarters. He can do all those types of things. So
yep.
He brings everything to the table.
All right, last one. We'll let you go. Clint Hurt with us. They got meetings, Dick. They got more important stuff to do than talk to guys like you and me. The year two for you is the DC. I know that there's no bigger critic of a player or a coach than the player or coach himself. How do you evaluate the job that you did in year one, and how do you want to improve? How do you think you can get better in year two?
Definitely not good enough. Honestly, I don't know. I'm not ever going to build an excuse for myself. Oh, it was the first year I did it and all that. Nobody wants to hear that, and I wouldn't say that myself. For me, obviously, unless we're playing top five or we're competing to be the best defense in the league and helping this football team, you know, go win the NFC West and win the NFC and compete for Super Bowls, it's not good enough. You know, that's the standard. So I'll keep it like that. But I'm excited about where we're going, the improvements already that I've seen in year two, and continue to take the strides that we've been doing. So the players have been committed. I've been refocused. I love the things I was able to learn coming into year two.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about this upcoming season.
Give us one thing that you learned last year that you maybe would not have been able to learn if you had not been the defensive coordinator.
Just in the heat of the moment, so certain things that you call, and don't second guess yourself. Trust the calls that you make. You're never going to make the perfect call. Trust that call. Continue to coach the details and trust that the guys will execute it. You don't have to put them in the perfect call every time. Trust the player.
I love it. You're the man. Great stuff. Appreciate this,
Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
You guys take care. Clint Hurt joining us on the radio show. Seahawk defensive coordinator. What do you say we come back and switch gears to a little college football? Joel Damon, by the way, going to join us, Dick, at 4 o'clock and talk about this unlikely marriage between the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour at 4. But John Wilner, going to do a little switcheroo on you. He'll join us next on 93.3 KJRFM.